Like I said, this is a special day for me. 45 years ago, and it was on a Sunday morning. That's just great. I just praise the Lord for it. Sunday morning, December the 24th, 1978. And so I just thank the Lord for it. So had it not been for that day, I probably wouldn't have been here this day, because I never knew this place even existed, all right? Never knew it. But God has been so good. He brought us here. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord and be a part and be your teacher. I just thank the Lord for that, okay? We love you today. Thank you so much. I want to, our lesson today, if you'll look at the bulletin that you've got, I've got a lesson down here. It's entitled, Do You See What I See? And this being Sunday morning, December the 24th, 2023, Christmas Eve Sunday, I thought this would be a great lesson to do this, because the world doesn't see things like we see it today. You know that? The world doesn't see it that way. But I wanted to give you this lesson today. But I told you last week I was going to finish up last week's lesson. So I want to finish last week's lesson, then we're going to try to get into this. If I don't get into it, we'll do it next week, okay? But I want it to be a blessing to you today. I want you to understand the lesson last week was Zechariah's visions of hope. Remember that? We were looking at Zechariah chapter 1 and 2. And we got all the way down where God gives visions of hope. And you know, our God is a God of hope. He's faithful to give his children hope. And that's what I'm thankful for today. Well, I've got a hope. But it can't get worse before it gets better for us. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. We looked at Zechariah. We looked at his name. We looked at the visions that he was having last week. We looked at the vision of the man among the myrtle trees. And we got all the way down to the vision of the four horns and the four craftsmen. And I want to start there and just kind of cover that kind of quickly this morning, so I can get into the lesson that we wanted to have for Christmas Eve Sunday morning. All right? So I want us to look at this. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn back to Zechariah chapter number 1, just a moment. Zechariah chapter 1. And we're going to look here at beginning in verse number 18. This is where we left off last Sunday morning. The vision of the four horns and the four craftsmen. And this particular vision revealed by God, excuse me, showed Zechariah that God's judgment, okay, upon those nations around Israel would indeed come. It's going to come. Boy, the world thinks today they got the tiger by the tail, don't they? But they're about to unleash the power of the Lord. That's what they're about to do. And the nations around Israel had done all sorts of bad things. They had rejoiced in the fact that they could defeat Israel, that they could, you know, see Israel come into ruin, basically. And they had gone through the captivities and all these things. But here, in verse number 18, we see the vision. Look at it. Zechariah writes, "Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns." Now, horns were oftentimes used in Israel. You remember they sounded the alarms, okay? They used a ram's horn, a shofar-type horn, and they would blow in that thing like the blowing of a trumpet. But these horns were also used as a part of the ceremonies that they had. They used the horns at the offering time, the burnt offering time. They were used as a symbol of power and divine authority, okay? And as you look at this, the question here in verse number 19, Zechariah asks, what be these? What be these? What are these? What are they meaning? And if you look here in the latter part of verse 19, the Bible said the angel answered him and said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And a lot of I looked this up and I tried to study on it real good because I wanted to give you a good answer for what these were talking about. But most of the Bible scholars believe that these four horns were those four great world powers, okay, that were spoken of by David or by Daniel. And when Daniel talked about those were Babylon. Then you had Medo-Persia that came in. Then you had Greece that came in, defeated them. And eventually you had Rome, who was, you know, going to, it would be on down the line. But there were four kingdoms that basically did this. And then he goes in here and he has an expanded vision on this thing. And God is showing him things that are going to come to pass. Look at verse 28. Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 20. The vision expanded, and we read here, the Bible said, and the Lord showed me four carpenters, craftsmen. They were not only woodworkers, but they were metal workers and other things such as stone, okay? And look down at verse 21, he asked the question again. Verse 21, what come these things to do? And then in the latter parts of verse 21, he spake and he said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them. Do you know what it means to fray? It means to destroy them, whip them. I mean, you know, just take care of business. To cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. These four carpenters were sent in by God to fray them, okay? And all these folks, again, when you had Babylon come in, okay, who defeated them? The Medo-Persians did. And when the Medo-Persians came in, who defeated them? Greece did. And then when Greece came in, who came in behind them? Rome came in. And you've got other ones that are coming in here. And God's kingdom, the final kingdom, is going to take care of all of them. It's going to take care of all. God's kingdom is going to just be the kingdom that never shall end. Amen? He's going to set up an everlasting kingdom. And I long for that day. I noticed on the reports from Israel this past week, I was looking on YouTube and I was seeing some of the videos. And in each of those videos, they were looking, they claimed the soldiers were calling out for Messiah to come. All the people there were calling, yearning for Messiah, Messiah, Messiah will come. That's what they were saying. Messiah will come. And folks, they're looking for the Messiah that they rejected. We know he already came the first time, but he is coming the second time. And buddy, he's going to rid this world of all this problem. And then we look in Zechariah chapter 2 real quick. The vision of the man and the measuring line. Okay? We looked at this. And in Zechariah chapter 2 verse 1, he said, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Now this third vision is one to remind Zechariah and his people that their great city still belonged to God. They still belonged to God. And God was the owner of it. Listen, all these other folks think that they own that land. And isn't it amazing? They've got everything that they can imagine. All the kingdoms around Israel is owned by the enemies of God. And all they want is that one little piece of land that God said they couldn't have. It kind of reminds you of what happened with Adam in the Garden of Eden, does it not? God said, I've given you all these things, but you can't eat of this fruit. And guess what? The devil said, I'll show you. You can do whatever you want to do. And boy, look at all the mess we've had since that day. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the devil thinks he can still have whatever he wants. But he can't get me. Amen? And he can't get you if you're saved. And he can't have that which belongs to God. He can't get it. And so God shows Zechariah here. He says, hey, listen, I want you to look at this, Zechariah. And Zechariah says in verse 2, he said, then I said, whither goest thou? Zechariah was curious to know what the man was about to do. And as this man looked, or Zechariah looked at this man with the measuring line, the Bible said, he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And then if you go through verses 2 through 13, here we read the answer and the interpretation of what that man was telling Zechariah. Look at what it said. He said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth. And another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. In other words, God was going to bless that place. It was going to be as if, man, there were no walls around it with so many people. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Wow. Isn't that good, man? Think about that just a minute. God says, hey, the walls that you see and all the things you're going to measure, they can't outmeasure my love and my grace and my boundaries. Listen, God was going to bless them. And he wanted them to know, listen, there is hope today. For I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire about them, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho. That's not Santa, okay? That is the Lord God saying, hey, hey, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you toucheth the apple of his eye. Boy, don't be poking your fingers in God's eyes. Amen. I remember just last week. Remember last week when the guy from Turkey is standing up in Parliament and he's got his fist up like this, and Allah, the wrath of Allah, is going to take care of Israel, and he falls over with a heart attack right there? Don't you touch the eye of God. Amen. Don't mess with the apple of God's eye. Look what he said. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them. I thought, as that man stood there like this, saying in the power of Allah, God shaking his hand and said, no, it's my power. And he just knocked him down right there. And they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. Guess what? Those of us that are saved, we're not Israelites, we're not Jews. We're what they used to call and still call those old Gentile dogs, okay? But you know what? God has brought us all together as one family, amen? One family. I remember when I got adopted, and I was about 4 years old. And I remember going in, and that social worker that day, I was scared going in that building, didn't know what was going to happen. And the first thing that lady said to me, she said, how would you like to have a new name today? And I thought, well, what's wrong with the one I got? I didn't understand. I didn't know. But you know what? When I was adopted, I got my father's first name. He let me keep my middle name, Ray, because that's what I'd been called. And I got my father's last name. And when I was adopted, I took on his name. Amen. He put a notice in the newspaper to my biological father. And I don't know if they do this up here or not, but they put a notice in the paper to whom it may concern and to, and he gave his name. And he said, he stated his intentions, and that was to adopt his two sons, me and my brother. And if he had a question about it, he was to report to the court and all this other stuff. And if you don't, then the proceeding is going to go ahead and it's going to proceed. And guess what? He never came. He never came. I don't know him today. If I were to see him today, I wouldn't know him. But you know what? I had one that did know me and wanted me and gave me his name. And when I got to reading this, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee, I got to looking at that and I got to remembering, you know what? I've been adopted today. You and I, as old Gentile dogs, we have been grafted in, amen, and made to be part of the family of God. All through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who came for you and for me. And when those nations all come together, in that day, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. That's us. Amen. We're going to be in there. All the nations of the world. Those folks have been saved everywhere. Bolivia, where Pastor Comstock was and his family for so many years, preaching the gospel. And all these other lands that have been saved. I got a text the other day from one of the boys that we've been witnessing to. It was Andrew's friend in college. And he's in China now. And he sent me a note. I wish I had time to read it to you. My goodness. I think I'm going to do it anyway, okay? But he sent me a note the other day. And he said he was back in China. And he wanted to thank me for telling him about Jesus. He said, in this note that when he got back home, he made a commitment. He said, hi, Mr. Shutt. It looks, he was talking about, you know, some things that we've been talking about for Thanksgiving. And he said, I want you to know I made my commitment to become a Christian in the last month. Now, he's in China now, okay? He's in China where they are persecuting Christians. You can go to jail, be put into prison for standing outside on the sidewalk praying with somebody. You know, they've got underground missionary pastors and preachers that are serving lifetime sentences for having a Bible or giving out a gospel tract. And he said, I made my commitment to become a Christian in the last month. I want to say thank you to you. And then he writes this, and he said, you're one of the biggest influences on the path to become a Christian for me. He said, I'm back in China, and now I'm working as an assistant of the Estonian javelin coach for a Chinese javelin national championship. And I'll be busy with school, but thank you, Mr. Shutt. Amen. And I thought, man, it lets you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And folks, in that day when our Savior comes back and He establishes His kingdom, souls that have been saved all around this world are going to get to be there, and they're going to get to see the blessings that God has and how that God is going to bless His nation, that city. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And as this chapter closes out, God reminds Zechariah that one day He's going to return and He's going to make all things right as He judges those nations that had mistreated the people of God so badly. As I told you last week when we started this lesson, God is always faithful to give His children hope. To give His children hope. Folks, you may be thinking today you don't have any hope. You may be thinking, man, everything is crumbling around me. The world has gone crazy. What in the world am I going to do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And you know what a blessing it must have been to Zechariah to see the people that he so loved, that had gone through so much, and to know that he was going to be able to give hope to his people from the God that loved them and so cared for them and was so jealous for them. God cared for them. And folks, I want you to understand, God is faithful. Amen? Don't forget the blessings of God. As we look at this Christmas season, we see the faithfulness of God to do what He said He would do. And that went all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And God said He would send a seed of that woman. He sent that seed. And man, look at what God has done for all of us today. I just thank him for that. Now, I want to go now into the lesson. I'm going to start this introduction. All right. I told you, I'm not going to get it all done. But God always gives hope. Amen. All right. So that's what the lesson was about. God gives hope. But today, I want you to look at Zechariah chapters 3 through 6. And as we look at Zechariah chapters 3 through 6, I want you to see the question I'm going to ask you today. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? In Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6, man, I can hardly get this out. But he said to Zechariah, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. I want you to understand something. God always, always supplies the fuel and the driver for his workers to hit the road. Amen. You may think sometimes that God has forgotten you. And you may think that the things that you're seeing, God's not seeing. We look around our world today and how they're mocking God. We look around today and see how that they're taking everything that's considered to be right and righteous, and they're turning it into wickedness and vileness. They're considering it to be bad. And everything that we know from the Word of God to be vile and wicked and just abominable, they're making it to look right. And they're causing little children to see things and causing them to be so confused. Listen to me, folks. Paul said in the book of Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion. Satan wants to confuse and to distort God's Word today. But I want you to understand, the way we see things today depends on how our heart is with God. And these things that we see going on around this world, don't let them discourage you. Let them encourage you. Because it tells us that Christ is coming again. Just like he said. Now as we continue in this series from the book of Zechariah, he gives at least five more visions unto Zechariah. God gives at least five more visions unto him in chapters 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the visions as a whole, when you look at this thing, were meant to strengthen and to encourage Zechariah and the Jewish people to do one thing, and that was to complete the rebuilding of the temple, to finish the job that God had them to do. And folks, listen to me. As we look at their job was to build that wall, to build that temple, to rebuild it and fix it up. Don't let the people around you discourage you. Just do what I've commanded you to do. So you and I today also have a command to finish our course, to run the race with patience. Now listen to me. What stimulates patience? What brings forth patience? If you read the book of Romans, chapter number 5, tribulation worketh patience. Okay? Rough times works patience. Rough environment brings forth patience. But if you'll look at that passage again in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, tribulation worketh patience. Patience brings forth hope. And hope brings forth experience. To be able to say, you know what? I didn't think this could ever happen, but God did it. Amen? God did it. And you know what? We have the hope from God. And when we see what God told these people to do, he showed them a glimpse of God's plan and God's future purpose for the nation of Israel. In other words, God was not done with them. He had not completed his task at hand with them. And folks, I want you to understand, God is not done with you yet. If he were done with you, you'd be at home with him right now. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan that we need to be willing to walk in. And then look what he said. They had to learn to trust God.
Absolutely.
Now, you and I have to learn to trust God. I look back over these last 45 years since I answered God's call to preach. And there are a lot of things that's gone on in my life that physically looking at them, I would not want to have to go through again. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had to teach me how to trust Him. And I always go back to the book of Exodus chapter 13, where Moses wrote in there how that God chose not to lead the children of Israel after He took them out of Egypt. He didn't take them through the land of the Philistines because that would have been easy, okay? It would have been an easy path. But He didn't do that. Why? Because He wanted them to learn to trust Him. So He took them through the wilderness, through the rocky places where there was no visible oasis. There was nothing there in the desert but them and a God that loved them. Amen? And sometimes God sends you through the wilderness and drags you through the briars just so that you can get to smell the roses when you get to the end of the trail. God had to teach them. It's not by might. Israel today is bragging about their military powers, okay? But in that day that is to come, when all the world turns against them, it's not going to be by their might. It's not going to be by their power. They're going to be delivered. But it's going to be by the Spirit of God. God's power is going to deliver them. And He had to teach them, not by might, nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. The fact is, folks, if you and I ever plan to be found serving God, we got to first be found depending upon God. So many times, I never will forget, when I was dealing with this thing about leaving the job I had. And I had a good job. And I had good money. And I thought, Lord, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I just need to make a little bit more money. Then, Lord, I can serve You. You see, I was thinking about me saving up the monies to be able to do this stuff. And then thinking, boy, look what I've done. I can live off of what I've done. And God said, no, that's not what you got to do. You got to trust Me. And I remember reading, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10. I can't remember exactly where it's at. But Paul was talking there. The writer of the book of Hebrews said something here that just blew my mind. I was reading it one day. And as I read this passage of Scripture, it talked about, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 35 and 36. Listen to what he said. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of a reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You know what God was telling me that day? Son, you got to make a commitment to God, and then you're going to see the hand of God. And folks, that's what God was trying to tell them. He wanted them to trust Him. He wanted them to believe Him. And He said, there's coming a time that it's not your power that's going to bring you out. It's not your might. It's not anything else you got to do. But it's by My Spirit I'm going to bring you through this thing. And folks, that's where we need to be today. That's what this lesson next week. Do you see what I see? Do you see what God is about to do? No, I don't see it, God. Then trust Me, He says.
Amen.
Trust Me. Depend upon Me. God always provides encouragement and strength and power to perform the task that He has assigned for each of us to do. You may be sitting here today and think, God, I just can't go on. I just can't do it. I can't do it. But it's not by your might. It's not by your power. But it's by God's Holy Spirit, His power, that you'll be able to get the job done for Him. Now, I could go on with this, but I think I'm going to leave it right there. And this will get you pumped and primed for next Sunday morning. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to think about what God has done for you. And I want you to think about, remember, it's not by your power, it's not by my power, but it's by God's Spirit that we're able to do what we do today. Let's take and make this Christmas a special Christmas. And let's look forward to a year that we can be able to serve the Lord with gladness of heart and do what God wants us to do. I'm going to let you out a little early because I've got some people I've got to see before I leave today. And it'll give you a little time. This is a once-a-year gift to you, okay? This will be a one-time gift to you, okay? All right? Miracles, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? All right, so let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning. Father, I just want to say again, Lord, today, thank you for one day reaching down and saving a young man 15 years of age. Lord, I had nothing but you. But God, without you, I wouldn't have had anything. And then, Lord, you called me to preach your word. Lord, I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity to be able to serve you. And Lord, I want this Christmas season to be a special time for our people. Lord, the things around our world today don't look good. But God, you said it was going to be this way in your word. So help us, Lord, to remember that you've got a plan. And it's not by our might, not by our power, not by the power of any set political party or anything like that. But God, it's by your Spirit that we're going to be able to do the job that you've saved us to do. And that is to reach our world with the gospel. Help us, Lord, to start right where we are today. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us to have eyes of faith instead of just physical eyes. And help us, Lord, to see things the way that you see them. And I pray, God, that you'll bless our pastor now as he stands to preach today. Help our people, Lord, to have a great Christmas and a blessed New Year as it comes up next week. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Appreciate you getting to be here, okay? All right.
Hey, folks. Can I have your attention for a minute, please? Lisa in the office?
No, she's gone down to interpret.
Okay.
You need that?
I think it's still on, isn't it? Can you hear me? On behalf of our class, we just wanted to say thank you for all that you and Lisa do for us. We want to say Merry Christmas and just give you a little token of our love and affection for you guys. In our hearts, we wish it was $1 million. But as we give as if we were given $1 million because we love you. Thank you. Have a safe trip and Merry Christmas.
I had one of those $1 million things in my desk, but it had Obama's picture on it, so I didn't try to cash it. So, but I just want to say I love you today. Thank you for getting to be in my Sunday school class. Thank you for letting me be your teacher. I look forward to the next year. It may not be what we expect it to be, but you know what? Jesus is in control. And I just love you today. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you. Thank you. You got time to fellowship. Let's go do it, okay? All right.